Well, amen. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight. 1 Kings chapter 17. Wasn't it a beautiful day out there today? I tell you what, I really enjoyed it. Got the motorcycle out of the little shed and started to clean it off. And I was thinking about taking it out for a little ride. And my brother stopped by and didn't get a chance to go anywhere. It was a great conversation. I enjoyed that. I'm not throwing you underneath the bus, Jeff. You didn't ruin my plans, but I just started up, just want to make sure it ran and everything. Then Jalen got home, and she goes, "Dad, you going for a ride?" I said, "No, not really," but I ended up taking around a few blocks, got up to top speed for a little bit. It's fun getting those bike up to top speed, isn't it, Jordan? Nice and quick, but enjoy those things. The next thing we get to do is golf. Looking forward to those things. Nice weather coming around. I forgot to mention earlier, too, we will be having a VBS meeting this Sunday night after church. We're going to be doing it at a different time this year. Normally we do it in later summer months, but we're going to try and really kick this off right after camp. There's some reasons for that, and I'm not able to share that with you at this point in time. Pastor's going to share that with you, and some exciting things coming up here for this summer. Looking forward to those things. And God's good. Amen? Are we in 1 Kings chapter 17? All right, let's go ahead and begin reading verse number 7. We're going to read down through verse number 16 tonight. And it says, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. She arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord thy God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and a barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this evening that you've given us. I pray as we gather around your word that you just guide us through your word. I pray, Lord, that we have an open heart to what you would want us to learn tonight. And I just thank you for your people who have come out tonight. Thank you. I thank them for their faithfulness and their love for you, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. As you know, we've been going through a series on Wednesday night, specifically dealing with a toxic believer. We've had a few lessons on these already. Is anybody available to name at least one of them off right off the top of your head? Anybody? What's that? Everybody's talking all at once. Samson? Pretender? Pretender? Okay, what else? I heard some more stuff. Gossip, critical, a liar. Tonight we're going to be dealing with, and I want you to catch this, we're going to be dealing with the manipulator. Or you can say the one who takes advantage of people. Now you don't necessarily see this in this chapter, but I want to point some things out how this came to take place. Okay? So here in this story, we read about a widow woman who has a son, and to top it off, they were on their last of their needs to survive. They were running out of the meals, the wheat, whatever they had to take in that day. They were running out, they were running low on the oil. They were just running low on all their supplies. And we all know when that happens to an individual, some people begin to panic and they begin to ask questions, how am I going to make it the next day, or how am I even going to make it through this next week? We don't see any type of that taking place here. We do see her saying that she had very little, but she didn't panic. And so their survival was coming to an end, really, when it came to these necessities. I'm actually kind of bummed. The last time that the only time I was in Israel, I actually was not able to go to this place because of a delay in our plane, and we are not able to visit this place. But anyway, hopefully here in a couple of weeks we'll be able to do those, Jeff. But as we continue on here, along comes Elijah. And Elijah was in need of a few things. He was in need of shelter. He was in need of food because of his traveling. He was also in need of drink. Now, I want you to understand something. We might think, well, that's nothing. That's something that we have at our disposal every single day. Yes, that is true. But that's not common back then. You got to understand, when their means of travel was either through a donkey and possibly a camel, and more than likely, their means of travel was on foot. And so just imagining traveling these great distances from city to city and getting to a place, not having any type of shelter, not having any type of food, but you have to find a way to live. You have to find a way to survive. And so Elijah finds himself with this woman. So with this woman, you see one of the most generous acts that is going to be displayed. And one of the reasons why I picked this lesson tonight is because the people that usually get manipulated, the people that usually get taken advantage of, are the ones who are generous. And we're going to deal with that a little bit later. Yet, she was concerned for her son and for her well-being as well. She goes ahead and she begins to take care of the needs of Elijah. You didn't see her, as I had mentioned a few moments ago, being a person in panic. She didn't say no. She didn't say, Elijah, I want you to get out of here. You're not welcome here. She didn't say any of those things. Matter of fact, she said what she had to say. And then Elijah gave her some words of comfort, really. And she took those words of comfort, and then she began to go about her business, making meals for him, and then turning around and making the meals for her son and herself as well. You would think that Elijah here was taking advantage of her, asking for the things that she needed for survival. But you don't see that taking place, because there are some good people out there that see the generosity of others and they don't come in and they don't prey upon them. They don't take advantage of those people. And I thank God for people like that. But that wasn't the case. She was being tested, however, to rely upon God to take care of her needs. Elijah, in a sense, was brought to her place to show her that she needed to be dependent upon God. She needed to have her faith grow in God. And I'll be honest with you, God allows other people in our lives to help our faith grow. He uses many people. He uses many things to help your faith grow. And some people say, well, I really haven't grown that much. It's kind of a slow growth. But you know what? I will say this because I heard this a few weeks ago. Slow growth is still growth. Amen? Slow growth is still growth. Those are some very wise words. This woman, however, begins to show tremendous faith. She begins to show that she trusted God. She showed that she was going to be dependent upon God. And every single day that she went out there for the meal, every single day that she went out there for the oil, all her needs were supplied. Nothing happened to this woman where she began to be in want. But God gave her the need for that day. I want you to think about that. God gave her the need for that day. So she shows tremendous faith. Faith that you and I need on a daily basis. Every day that Elijah was there, she would go, she would get the handful of meal, and she would get the oil as well, and every time she would have enough for the meal that day. It's interesting that Elijah had told her to fear not. Now, let's just say that was you. Let's just say that your food supply was running low, and here comes a stranger off the street. You don't know who he is. You never met him before. You don't even know if you can trust him. And he asks you to take care of his needs. And more than likely, you would probably say no. Let's just be honest with these things. But Elijah told her to fear not, and then she began to put her complete trust, not only in God, but she began to put a complete trust in a stranger as well. If anyone is going to take advantage of you, you would think it would come from a stranger. I want you to think about that, because I'm kind of building up to where we are going here tonight. It's usually the opposite ones, the ones that you love and consider friends, are usually the ones who will take advantage of you. And we see that every single day of our lives. You know, we have politicians who try to manipulate you and they try to take advantage of you. They truly do. You see their ads as the election year comes on, and they begin to say, hey, put your trust in me. I will give you this, and I will give you that. And this other guy, he won't do this, and he won't do that for you. And so they will manipulate you, and they will try to take advantage of you just so that they can have your vote at the end of the day. The story continues because you see the faithfulness and the great attitude of this woman. I've never realized this before, but she had tremendous faith. She had a great attitude as she was not only serving God, but she had a great attitude as she was serving Elijah as well. So with this great faith that she began to have in her life and this great attitude that she would portray to the stranger Elijah, God does something that you would think that was impossible to do. But God rewards her. And how does he reward her? He rewards her by supplying her daily needs. The reason why I'm going to focus on this a little bit, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. So often we are concerned not with the need of the day or the need of the hour. We're more concerned for the need for the next month, for the next year, or the next 2 years ahead of ourselves. And we don't focus on the need for the day. In Matthew chapter 6, we see the prayer of how we are to truly pray. And let's read this real quick. Matthew chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse number 8. It says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask him." Now, isn't this true? Did not God know the need of this woman at Zarephath? How she was low on oil, how she was already low on the meal, the flour, all that stuff that she needed to make her bread and to give nourishment and strength to her body. God already knew those things. And that's the amazing thing, because God's going to take something that really seems impossible and turns it into something possible. And so here's what I see take place here. Let's begin reading here again. It says, verse number 9, it says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." Now, this is the model of how we are to pray. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Verse number 11, look at this. It says, "Give us this day our what? Our daily bread." Is that not what God did for this woman? For the remainder of the time, however long Elijah was there, God gave her the daily bread that she needed. Now, the Bible doesn't say that it was close to empty or half full or three quarters full. The Bible doesn't say, it doesn't give those amounts. I can just imagine that this woman only had enough for the day. That's just what's in my thought. And so God began to show her, hey, I am going to supply your daily needs. And that's what I want you to focus on. And so the reason why I'm kind of just dwelling on this, let's not worry at what's off in the sunset, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Let's just worry about our need for the day. How about we do this? How about we just be more concerned, not even for the day, but let's be concerned the need for the hour. And let our faith begin to grow in God and allowing God to do the work that he deems necessary in our life. So give us this day our daily bread. And that's all we should really desire. We can't worry about tomorrow. For what reason? Okay. For tomorrow may never come. It might not get here for some people. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, some of us could go home tonight, go to sleep, and never wake up. That's what could happen. You can have many, many other instances that can take place, but tomorrow may never come for some folks. And so we need to focus on the daily need. This woman was focused on a daily need. And I can just imagine every time that she went out there to get that cruse of oil, and as she went out there to get that the flour that was in that barrel to make her needs, I can just imagine her, every single time that she would open that up, she would just begin to praise God for how wonderful he is to her, because he was taking care of her needs. Remember, this is a generous woman who's has not been manipulated into anything. She has not been held against her own force. She had a way out. She could have said, no, I have no part of this. But she allowed this to take place, and her faith began to grow in God. Elijah never took advantage of her, never did any of those things. But that does take place, and we're going to get to this in a little bit. So God rewards her for her daily needs. Her generosity towards Elijah pays off. We didn't finish reading this story, but let's dive down to verse number 17. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there is no breath left in him." So that being said, there's no breath left in him. This young man, whatever his name was or however old he was, he passed away. There's no breath left in him. Now this woman is in a different situation than she was before. Her need has not only now just increased for that cruse of oil and that flour to keep coming forth so she can feed Elijah and her son. Her need has been totally shifted. And what was that shifted towards? Now she's without a son. See, she should be concerned because she's a widow woman. Elijah, he's just there for a temporary basis. And once he gets to the point where he's got to take off, he's going to go. And she's going to be forgotten about. Who's going to take care of her? God supplies our daily needs. Okay, let's begin reading this again, verse number 18. "And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered it unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth." Could you just not imagine how this woman's faith was growing through the course of just preparing some meals for the stranger? And now she turns to him because her son fell sick. He passes away. And she calls upon this man to do something. This man does something. What's he do? He stretches his body across this child. This child comes back to life. And he's able to deliver her child back into her arms. God took care of that need. God took care of that need. Why did God take care of that need? Because God saw not just the faith of a woman growing, but he saw the generosity that this woman had towards others. And it's a beautiful picture that takes place. God hears the cry of Elijah and restores this child's life. But here's something that never took place that I want you to see. Elijah never took advantage nor did he manipulate this woman that some would think. He simply just asked her, hey, I'm hungry. Can you take care of my needs? She says, I have very little. Hey, this is what you need to do. God's going to provide. He didn't manipulate her. He didn't use any force against her. He didn't take advantage of her. But in this situation, here's what took place. He was able to help her to be more reliant upon God taking care of her needs. You're probably asking yourself this question by now. What does this have to do with a toxic believer? And I'm glad this question has come to your mind because I want to answer this. If you have been listening up until now, it should be quite obvious to everybody in here. And that is, people who take advantage of someone's generosity will become toxic. If Elijah would have been taking advantage of this woman's generosity, think of what could have happened. She would have taken care of his needs, and probably within a few hours or maybe a few days, she would have been without the oil that she needed for her lamp. She would have been without the flour for her meals. She would her and her son would have grown hungry. And then through that, her son would have died, and nobody would have been there to take care of this situation. Some people will go out of their way for someone to lend a helping hand. And that's what this woman did. She went out of her way. She lent a helping hand towards Elijah. And this is great if we can do things of that nature. But it shouldn't make us a doormat for people to walk all over us and take advantage of us. We don't see this taking place. And the reason why I use this story, because I want you to see this is the example of what we're to be like. Not what we're not to be like. We're to be generous. We're to serve. We're not here to take advantage of others. We're not here to manipulate others into doing something against their own will. Giving isn't wrong by any measures. But the world is unfortunately filled with people that you will see goodwill, and as something, they will also do this, they will take advantage of that person. This can become harmful to you and to the people that you surround yourself with. He never strong-armed her into doing anything against her will. She had a good-natured heart, and she gave what she had. Elijah had not become toxic to her, nor did he ruin a relationship. In fact, you see what took place. He restored a relationship. He gained a new friend, and then he was able to restore a relationship. Well, what relationship did he restore? A mother and a son. That's what he's able to restore. Usually people who take advantage of others, you can consider them wicked people. You can consider them wicked people. In fact, we see in the Bible what some wicked people's true intentions are. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. You will see the heart of a wicked person and what their intentions are in this. And I believe, personally, people who manipulate and people who want to take advantage of others for their own personal gain, for their own personal benefit, they're wicked. And because of their wickedness, they can become toxic to a house of believers. Verse number 21 of chapter 37 of Psalms, it says this, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again." What's that saying to you right there? That means that that wicked person that's being described here is borrowing money, and they probably manipulated to their advantage to get the money that they need for whatever it was, whatever expense that they had at that point in time. And then it goes on and says, and pay it not again. They took advantage of the lender, And they got what they needed and they ran off with the money. That's what this is saying here. It goes on, it says, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. I see this in the life of this widow back in 1 Kings chapter 17. I see a woman who's trying to be righteous. She's showing mercy towards a stranger by taking him in. And then you see her generosity, and that generosity is giving out of what she had. She couldn't give out of what she didn't have, but she gave out of what she had, and God supplied her need. The ones who take advantage of others are wicked, but we also see how the righteous act, and that is by showing mercy. One of the sharpest tools in the manipulator box is this. It is guilt. And they have honed this to a razor's edge. And why should you continue to be innocently generous? First, we must understand that they only care. I'm sorry, I got tongue-tied there. But first, we must only stand that they only care about themselves. People who take on this identity as a manipulator and the ones who take advantage of you only care about themselves. I was texting Pastor just before services tonight. I was telling him what I was talking about, and he gave me a thought. And he says, yes, manipulators also are considered perfectionists. I didn't really think about that. There's a lot of truth to that. So they don't care. They only care about themselves, and they are never giving. Here's what they are doing. They are constantly taking. They're constantly taking. Here's a beautiful picture that you see back in here in 1 Kings. A stranger comes in, doesn't manipulate, doesn't take advantage, says, hey, I need some food. Can you take care of me? She says, yes. She's generous. She gives those things. She loses her son. And what's this man do? He turns around and restores his life through the power of God. Her generosity had an effect on him. I want you to think about this. Showed him some stuff. And then he turned around and gave back to her. He wasn't just there to take advantage of her. Here's what they also do. They guilt you into feeling ashamed for not sharing your good fortune, to questioning whether you are really, in the fact, a good friend that you say you are. I have been in situations like that. Hey, can I borrow some money from you? And I would have a response, no. Because I need the money. I'm not the woman that Elijah's talking to because my faith isn't as good as hers. Okay? So I would say no. And they would say, well, I thought she was a good friend. Well, wait a minute. What are you trying to manipulate me to do? What are you trying to take advantage of me in this situation? I have known people, most of you folks don't know this, but there have been people that sat in these chairs before who have taken advantage of others for money, for their own personal gain. I can say this because they're no longer here, but that takes place. They guilt you into feeling shame for not sharing your good fortune. They will lay guilt on you about all the rewards that you have reaped for your hard work. People work hard for what they have. And then they will guilt you into feeling ashamed. Well, I shouldn't have these things because someone's less fortunate. And here's what they will even do. They will even feel entitled to your things. They will feel entitled to your things. Elijah did not feel entitled to the things of this widow woman. He told her his need, and he said, God will supply. Just go and take. It'll be there. He didn't guilt her in anything, and he didn't feel that he was entitled to it. He was just delivering a message. They will also do this. They will even turn the tables on you and lay blame on you for, I like this word because I wanted to use a different word, But they will guilt you and lay blame on you for feeling tight-fisted on what you have. We used to give pastor a hard time. We used to say, and occasionally we still do, Dad, you're so tight that we need to carry a can of WD-40 around with you, so you just loosen up a little bit. The funny thing is, I'm the exact same way. Thanks, Jeff. I'm the exact same way. There's times I squeak when I walk. But that's okay. People who take advantage of you knows a few things. They know how to manipulate you. They know how to manipulate the relationship. And when this happens, here's what I want you to avoid. Here's why I'm bringing this about. Because when this happens, they bring toxic levels with them. And usually, people who have friends who manipulate and take advantage of them, they don't stay friends for very long. Why? Because they can't stand the poison. That's what it is. They can't stand the poison that they're bringing with them. Be careful when you hear a statement like this, because I've heard this, and you probably heard this too. If you cared about me, you would do this for me. We've all heard of those things. Be aware of those tactics. Now I'm going to get down to something here. Churches have people who take advantage of other believers. Mark my words. They will take advantage of other believers. I'm just going to give you one example. It's not even in my notes. It just came to my head right now. We take advantage of pastor. We truly do. Oh, he's here all the time. He can do this. Is that not taking advantage of somebody? Do you realize his job is to give us the message to train us to do God's work? That's true. We take advantage of pastor. There's areas where we take advantage of the song leaders. We expect them to be in their place all the time. We take advantage of Sunday school teachers. How do we take advantage of Sunday school teachers? Let me ask you this. Do we have any substitutes Sunday school teachers here? You know, they miss out on a lot of the services. Nursery workers. I can go on and on and on with this. Good thing I didn't put this in my notes. But churches have people who take advantage of each other and manipulate each other. And it brings others down when a manipulator has sucked your generosity dry. They will leave you and move on to another unsuspecting target. They bring such toxic levels, it can ruin a congregation. It's an unfortunate situation, but they will be doing you a favor when they decide to get out of your life. They will be doing you a favor. Can I tell you what we're here to do? I've been talking for a while about toxic believers. This, we've been dealing tonight with one who is a manipulator, one who takes advantage of people. We have read a great story of what we are to be to each other. So let's reiterate on how we are to be towards each other. We're here to serve. We're here to serve each other. You know, there's some people in this church who have no idea what it means to serve another individual in this church because they're so consumed about themselves. Never lifting a finger for anything else. We're here to serve each other. You know what else we're supposed to do? We're to give to each other. You mean we're give our finances? No, I'm not talking about giving our finances. I told you if somebody asked me for money, what I'm going to do, I'm going to shut you down. So don't even ask. Well, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to give? Give our time. Our time's more valuable than money. It truly is. Money's here one day, gone the next. But our time, that's valuable to us. And we need to give each other time. Well, how do we do that? Well, someone calls. Maybe you just need to listen as they talk. Somebody texts. You maybe just need to respond. Usually when someone texts me, I respond right away because I don't usually get many of those things, so I jump right on it. Then sometimes I sit there and think, do I look that desperate? Because I responded within 5 seconds. I'm thinking, oh, geez, man, I look like a fool. They think I need a friend so bad that I just responded within 5 seconds. So sometimes I let a minute or two go by to where I don't look as desperate for a friendship. Because that's what goes through my mind. Sometimes people take a day to respond back. I'm thinking, I guess I'm really not at the top of their list. I don't really exist in their life. And 2 days later, oh, hey, I got a text from Chad. Better respond. By then I forget. But we are to give to each other. The third thing that we are to do, and I see it in this great story. It wasn't really talked about, but I see this in this story. We are to love each other. We are to love each other. I don't see this woman doing something out of her heart just because she was wanting to do something. I believe that she had a genuine love for people who came her way. You know, people know when you love somebody. They know those things. So we're here to serve. We're here to be giving. We're here to love each other. I know we tell our family members we love them quite often. I tell my wife every day that I love her. Jalen, she tells us every time she goes out the door, she loves us. Those are great to hear. But how often do we tell each other in God's family that we love each other? That's important to do. So here to serve, here to give, here to love each other. Finally, we are not here to manipulate and to take advantage of one another. That's not our job. Next week, we're going to dive into the other toxic believer, and that is one of a jealous person. And I'm going to use a story next week that hopefully will illustrate that very well. God's already laid that upon my heart, and I'm looking forward to that. So we're going to close tonight, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I just want to thank you for this fine passage that you've given us on how we're really to be towards each other. Servants, ones that give, ones that love. But we're not to be the ones that manipulate and take advantage of others. God, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that has done this, or maybe they are doing this, that they would see the importance to change. Lord, I know I said it would be better if one of those people would, it'd be better if they would leave our lives. But honestly, Lord, I don't want to see anybody in our church leave. And I just pray that we can just be better towards each other. Serve a little better, love a little better, and give a little better. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.